Hello and welcome to the Navy Blue Corner. I'm Ian, joined as always by my good mate Lockie. And the Blues have bounced back in style with an emphatic win over GWS to go 5-1. It was unbelievable. It showed that I think a lot can change in a week in footy. Lockie, before I ask you the probably big question of the episode, I have to ask, how are you going and how did you react to that win? Was it one that you were expecting?
I was tempted to go back and listen to a bit of last week's episode from us because wasn't the vibiest episode, wasn't the most high energy after the Adelaide loss. But of course we were confident going into this one, and yeah. I was very excited watching it Saturday morning, London time for me. Very, very excited.
Yes, no, it was one where we were definitely quite negative on things, kind of reviewing the week last week, but there was still that overtone as always from us, that positivity of, look, it's only one week. And it's, I think the big definitely kind of talking point out of it for me was really just how do we learn from it and how do we implement that to be better against GWS? And I think we really showed every single aspect of that, really answered that question. But, you know, let's jump into the Navy noise because this is the big thing. This was a big, big question after the win from GWS. Are we officially a contender, Lockie? It was a win of absolutely full of substance against a top opposition that no one can really discredit. They were the most informed team in the competition. They were undefeated. We're now 5-1. Some media are even saying we're flag favourites as things stand right now. Would you say that we're now a contender?
It feels pretty open this year, doesn't it? There's a lot of different flag favourites being thrown out there at the moment, but mate, I think we've felt like we were contenders for this season since the minute that we got eliminated from the Brisbane game last year. I think I don't want to speak too much for you, but that's definitely how I felt. So I haven't wavered too much on that this season, and I definitely think that we are up there with the best, particularly considering some of the best teams from last season have faltered a bit to start the season, obviously. Makes that runway a little bit clearer to see. But, mate, our best is as good or better than anyone else's best. I feel pretty comfortable saying that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's great to see that performance complete there from us to really give you it. Obviously, there was more than just belief because we've been able to prove things last year. And even this year, to a degree, there's been really defining moments in some of our victories. But to really do it against one of the better teams in the competition, those are the wins of substance that get you excited, that are the real proof that, yes, okay, we are one of the better teams right now in the game. And it's such a strange thing where, you know, I saw that David King, Lee Montagna, big Hutto, Anthony Hudson, all this week, that was seeding the top few teams, and we are all their number one. And it's just funny how much can change in a week. You know, last week, we lose to Adelaide and it's Carlton aren't legit, you know, but all of a sudden we beat GWS and we're the best team in the comp. It's just bizarre how much things can kind of change week to week. And, you know, it's a substance win that obviously is impressive. You know, I have GWS as a top four team. So for me right now, clearly we are a contender, but I think to a degree, we do need to pull the brakes just a little bit because we've got such a tough run of fixtures coming up, and there's so much of the season that still needs to play out. It's a great win, but it's only one of them. I don't think, you know, after last week, things were so panicky. Now I don't think you can say that we're the complete finished article just because of one game. I'm going to need a bigger sample size. We're going to need to do it against these top teams that we are playing over the next few months. But God, it was amazing to finally put our stamp on things and probably prove it to the wider AFL. Is that where you were kind of seeing more of the contender argument, that it's maybe more of the outside that are finally believing what all us Carlton fans had thought for quite some time now?
Yeah, it's a good point. I was actually a little surprised in that, like the way that non-Carlton fans reacted to this. I thought, a lot of people saying exactly what you said, like that kind of stamped us as being truly up there. Like I didn't really feel like that watching the game. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I already kind of felt that way about us before this, and this was just the way that people came to it. So, yeah, it's interesting. I guess that's why we on this show try and not get so caught up in the week by week and take a bit of a step back, because the general media around footy is so holding to that. And a 40-point loss this week and we're back to not being a contender in the eyes of everyone else, right?
100%. The media is so quick to forget their takes from the week prior. It's really whatever happened this week is the talking point. Get the clicks off that. So I'm glad we are a little bit different and allowed to have a bit more perspective here at the Navy Blue Corner. But obviously it was a massive win. So for you, what made it so significant, Lockie? I'm really keen to get your thoughts on those specifics of the game.
Oh my God, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I was pleased to hear the commentary acknowledging our injuries and the way that the players that we were rolling out there aren't the guys that have been doing it for us this season. Obviously, the rucks is one part of this. That was something that is new. It's the second time this season that we're doing the dual rucks. Guys like Cowan and Young coming in that haven't had a lot of time. These are all the things where we were sitting here a week ago being like, you know, if we lose, these might be the things that we point to. And I felt like that was all came together to get the victory, which is, you know, I guess kind of surprising. There was definitely a part of me that after the show last week, I'm like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we do go down to GWS with all the injuries and those things that are coming into account. So that's what made it even more pleasing.
Yeah, and it's one of those, I guess, things where GWS were the team from the start of the season that have really impressed everyone, and they've kind of been the number one or two seed. We've been in the conversation, but we've never really been that, okay, we're the team right now that is the number one. So I think to finally be able to beat that team, that informed team that everyone's talking about, that's incredibly impressive. And then it's the performance around it and the domination that we showed over GWS, particularly in that third quarter and in that second half when we needed to step up a gear. And then you absolutely nail it with the resilience of this group. We saw it in spades at the back half of last season. It was why I was I guess so bullish in that, even with the injuries and with a loss last week, that this is the tough run of games coming up and we're going to show it. I know one of the questions we got asked last week was, are we about to fall into a bit of a form slump like 2023 and fall off the rails? And I just was so confident because of the resilience of this team, you know, bounce back from a loss. We've got all the injuries leading into the game. Lose Williams halfway through it. Wiedering can barely move his leg for half the game as well. GWS, their strengths are kind of our weaknesses in a way that was similar to I guess how Adelaide play as well. All of those things kind of against us. Doesn't matter. We still come out on top. And then to show probably our best performance of the season, best performance all year, that is what gets you excited to know that you're still capable of such a high standard of football.
Yeah, 100%. You nailed it. And speaking of the resilience, I think like in the second quarter, I definitely felt like we were not taking our opportunities. They were taking their opportunities. How were you feeling during that time? Like, were you remaining confident, or were you feeling like, I don't know, you know, midway through that third quarter where we were down by around 20 points, were you still feeling like we had a good chance, or were you losing it?
It's hard to take myself back completely in that space because I'm always stressed and nervous watching a game of footy. Those that have been me will know that it's an absolute roller coaster. There's always that belief in that we can turn things around. I never lose complete hope, but I think there was that somewhat wrestling with, okay, like GWS just are a really good team. We are struggling that we've had our chances. Yep. We're dominating clearances, but it's what GWS are able to do, moving the ball from the back half, those short chip kicks that are just destroying us right now. We don't have much of an answer for it. I felt like we were better. That was probably the weirder part of it. Particularly the first quarter, we probably should have been up by a lot more. Charlie misses a fair few easy shots in front of goal, and who knows, maybe it is different because we can put on that scoreboard pressure. So I never thought we were completely out of it. But I mean, when GWS have kicked, I think like six in a row in the second quarter, there was a lot of nerves going on. But there's always a glimmer. How did you kind of see it when GWS were on top, particularly in the second?
I definitely felt confident that the momentum would shift back our way at some stage, and then it was just a matter of whether we could put on enough score for them not to be able to come back, which is why my biggest frustrations watching Carlton over the last 18 months, I suppose, is those times when we can either, we have our opportunity to catch up and we don't take it, or we have our opportunity to put the nail in the coffin and we don't take it, which we almost saw in this game too with a couple of shots late where it was like, if we could, like, those were the nail in the coffin shots, and now I'm still stressed going down to 2 minutes to go. So that's an area for improvement. But to be honest, I still, even when it seemed like everything was going their way at times in the second quarter, I still felt pretty good that we could get back into it.
And I think that other real positive was just that we haven't seen us maybe this season have that onslaught that we have shown in previous years. Like the biggest one I remember is that Sydney game where all of a sudden we've just piled on a ridiculous amount of goals in a short period of time and just taken the game away. Kind of haven't done that in a while. So it was good to see that we've still got that aspect where we can all of a sudden win some clearances and take the game away from the opposition, and to do it again against an actual quality team. We're not doing it against North, where there's no credit to it, doing it against GWS. So I guess that last thing about, you know, excuses potentially discrediting anything, GWS, they didn't have Sam Taylor out there. Do you think that that's any excuse that will get thrown around? Because for as good as we are, I feel like there's always those negative detractors that will try and find a way to say, if they have Sam Taylor, doesn't matter, Carlton don't win that game.
Yeah, there's always something, isn't there? I mean, I think we were kind of talking about this last week, maybe with the injuries. Like, I maybe put more weight on injuries to big players than others do. Like, others kind of take the approach that injuries should never be an excuse for losing a game or whatever. Like, that's not what, you know, that's not how they like to think about it. I do think that injuries are super important, but I also don't think that they would have won this game with him. It definitely felt like their key defender stocks were, not like, you know, they still put up good performances, I thought, at times, their key defenders, but they just couldn't handle the three tools down there. To answer your question, no, I don't think they would have won with Sam Taylor playing.
Yeah, unfortunately, Sam Taylor's not Paddy Cripps in the middle, so I don't think you're able to stop us, because that's where the domination was. And this was the other big talking point from this game, Lockie, all of last week in the Adelaide performance. We were talking about the two rucks. We were talking about Pitto back in this team. And look, both of us had said it's probably not looking amazing. We preferred just TDK and Harry Pinch hitting. It was a very small sample size, but it seemed as if we lost so much that was going well for us by trying to win this clearance battle, and maybe we lost too much of the turnover. How did you see the two rucks this week? Did you find that it was a bit more of a balanced performance? I'm keen to get all your thoughts on the two rucks, because, it's wild again what a week in footy can do.
100%. And I definitely want you to cook on this one. I want to hear your thoughts. So I'll be brief and say I definitely, once again, don't want to get too swept up in one performance, because exactly what you just articulated. But obviously it worked well in this game. We were worried that the things that we want Pitt to be and the things that we want TDK to be together weren't going to happen at the same time. We hadn't seen enough forward craft from TDK consistently, and we hadn't seen the ability for Pitt to do things around the ground and basically earn more than playing half a game of footy. And they both went above and beyond that in this game, and I definitely want to see it next week.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the fun part of this, because, last week I myself was saying, drop Pitto. I don't think the two rucks are the way forward. I will credit myself slightly by saying, which I always tend to do on this podcast anyway, there's always a bit of ego involved, but I did say, let's just park it for now. There's going to still be an opportunity where the two rucks will work and we can see it potentially a little bit later. But I was worried, I guess, with Pitto's lack of time on ground and just that it was working with the one ruck. So let's not change things too much. And as we build into the season, maybe have a look at it later. But I mean, it's amazing, all of a sudden one great performance and everything changes. And the most positive part was that we showed that it can work, and we showed what the best can happen with the two rucks. Pirro was such a big difference, clearly, to our clearance game and that domination in there. And he showed that he can actually do a bit more around the ground. I would say that that's Pirro's best ever game for us by far. 17 disposals, 25 hit-outs, 7 clearances, 3 big marks for the big man. And that's something I don't think he does often. 2 of those contested.
Absolutely.
6 score involvements. I mean, these are just the little things that he's able to offer for us. And a lot of his hit-outs to advantage, it's something that he gets sort of beaten with the other way, because it seems like a weird stat that no one truly understands. And when we're maybe not playing amazingly, you say, so what? Pirro's getting these hitouts to advantage. It does nothing. This week, they were put to good use. And then deconing the other way, it was the balance between the two. If Pirro's able to make the clearance work better, we need deconing to still pinch hit in the ruck and do well there, but offer something up forward. Didn't see that against Adelaide this week. My goodness, the 15 touches, 4 tackles, 3 goals, 5 marks, with 3 being inside 50, 8 score involvements. Man. That's kind of exactly what we needed to see from those two. And we from that as well, we were able to actually still apply the pressure around the ground and still win the turnover game. I got to ask you the question, are the two rucks the way forward from now on? Last week, we didn't want to see it. You've got another week of it. It worked amazingly. Are you sticking with the two rucks?
Yeah. I mean, you and I were pretty aligned last week. But the reason that I was leaning towards persisting with it was all about that forward line and feeling like we were just so desperate to have a third target. And I wasn't sold that even that would be TDK anyway, just because of and how they work with each other in the past. But this was the example of how it can. Like, I don't, I would love you to be able to explain to me or somebody, like, why did the spacing just work so well this time? Like, it just seemed such great synergy between the three. Like, I know it's not going to be like this every week, and TDK is not going to kick 3 goals every game, but that was that, like, the way that the forward line was functioning was how I've dreamt of it. Like, that's how it should be. The smalls were doing their thing. The tall's doing their thing. Elijah doing what he needed to do. That's it. Like, that's what the forward line should be like.
Yeah, those are the things that get me the most excited, that we've been crying out for so many elements. And is it possible with this squad, with the way that the system allows for us to create good inside 50s and actually use the ball well to hit those targets? So it was amazing to see. And then, I'm happy to change my tune from one game of football and say, let's keep it going for a little bit, because, look, let's be objective. Last week, we saw the absolute worst of what the two rucks can look like. This week, we saw the absolute best. I don't think you're going to see what we saw against GWS every single week. That would be naive until they're able to actually prove that. The worry really was, what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on clearance? Are we focusing off turnover? Are we able to get the best of both worlds at all? Mm-hmm. This game, we were able to do that with a massive, clear emphasis on winning stoppages, getting the ball quick inside 50. From there, we still need to make sure that balance is there every single week. So I'm definitely not getting carried away, but I'm happy to go. I just want a bigger sample size now. Clearly, we've seen the best, and thank God it does actually work. We're not sitting here doing the same thing after the Adelaide game going, oh my God, get the two rucks out of there. Let's go back to Harry in the middle. Harry was still involved in the forward line, so a lot of positives. But my kind of question I have off the back of this and trying to get that balance between it is, do you think that we're going to be able to balance it well by being able to keep that clearance game working, ticking over, while also winning it off turnover? Or do you think we need to play to our strengths and either focus on the clearance-based game plan that we saw a lot last year, or go towards what we kind of saw in the first few games this year, being a very turnover-based side?
Wow, that's a really interesting question, and I'm keen to hear your take on it. Because I mean, it makes sense in theory to not want to like hitch your wagon, you know, hitch yourself to the one wagon, I suppose, and be like, you know, dependent on one game style. I feel like that's where we felt like, you know, teams would be more easily able to counter us. So I think the balanced approach is good, but yeah, it's so hard to now look at what is still such a small sample size of Pitt this season.
Yes.
And understand where, like, you nailed it by saying it was the worst of the two rucks to the best. But is where's the average? Is the average closer to last week? Because if this was the big outlier, which I don't think it is, but if it is, then it does make me wonder whether it's it isn't the clearance focus.
Yeah.
Where
no, it's
a really good question.
I hope that the average of this is a little bit towards more of what we saw at GWS, obviously. And right now, as it stands, and I'm happy to have and be a bit more fluid with this and say that my opinion's going to change week to week because of what you're touching on. The sample size is so small. So it's about, I guess, holding us accountable, making sure that we aren't too biased on what we've just seen and reacting to that and trying to be more level-headed. I think it's obvious that we're going to grow and we're going to get better at this. I am definitely more, after seeing this performance, saying that we probably need to back in that strength of that contested and stoppage side of our game a little bit more because it's clearly our biggest strength. We saw it last year. It got us to a prelim. We were so close to a grand final playing that brand of football. To sort of fence it slightly, there obviously needs to be that balance. And I think that's clearly going to grow because we've seen it so much this year. And maybe there is an element of what we saw last year where we sort of started the season trying to get the ball movement happening and then we got the dominance in the clearance. Maybe we're trying to do that to an extent again. Get the ball moving, learn how to win off turnover and score through transition, but then also go back to our strength in the middle. And I mean, it's interesting. We've got still so many players that would be in our best team if fit that are key components to how we move the football not playing. So that's just another reason why this game was so impressive. No Saad, no McGovern down there. You can throw Marchbank as someone that would probably be in ahead of others if fit. Take all those guys away. Zach Williams for a half of football. For us to be able to adapt and adjust, they're all massive positives for me. So yeah, back in the two rucks for now, just so we can get that sample size and come back in about a month and reassess. I'm not going to sit here next week and say we're locked in either way. I think that's the that's the sort of thing we need to stamp right now.
I hear we got 32 scoring shots on one of the best teams in the league, and a lot of them were from really good gettable spots. So let's keep it going.
Absolutely. So let us know your thoughts on that. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, make sure you drop it in the comments. What you're thinking of the two rucks? Is it locked and loaded? Have we turned the corner or do we need to just give it a little bit of time? Let us know. If you're listening in podcast form, at Navy Blue Corner is the socials. Head over there to let us know all your thoughts. The other big kind of thing I want to touch on from this game where we can maybe delve into the specifics of little key moments and key takeaways is, obviously, we had the loss last week. We needed to learn something from it, Lockie. We clearly have, getting over the line, beating the Giants. So what changed or improved this week that led to such an emphatic victory for you?
Oh, my God. Where to begin? I mean, like, I've already spoken about it a bit, but the thing that just stood out to me was the way that we were moving the ball forward from the midfield inside 50. It felt like the forwards, I don't know, it just felt like everybody clicked in the forward line for some reason this week. Like, players were moving around, leading, like, the leading patterns looked better. The way that the three keys were spacing was better. We're still sensitive, and I guess finding the right balance between, and I think I asked this question last week, like, would you prefer us to be a very, like, trying to hit a player on the lead every time versus getting it in fast and long every time? This felt like a really good balance of both, and we're making the sensible decision. Like, some of those out-of-the-middle clearances, it was like, I'm not even going to look where we're kicking this. I know where the best spot is. Top of the square, or 25 metres out from goal. Perfect. Mm. Other times it was, I'm going to lower the eyes. Dirge is flashing across. Elijah. Just the forward line synergy was so much better to me.
Yeah, in that third in particular, it felt like everything was right. It was, we were getting the clearances and out into space, so the ball carrier actually had time to make the right decision, as you're alluding to there. Mm-hmm. And because it's such a quick breakaway, it just allows the opposition no time to actually set up and adjust, and it helps create the space. The synergy in the forward half was, yeah, definitely something I was impressed with. I wrote here that we got our high forwards involved quite a lot and just moved the ball better inside 50. And I wanted to highlight two players in, but Matty Cottrell was incredible. We need this guy involved every time he touches the ball. He's incredible. He had four score involvements in the first quarter. I thought he started electrically, and then he ended with the eight score involvements and a goal by the end of the game. And then Elijah Hollins with two goals, six score involvements. And talking about the way we move the football, I touched on it in the sort of preview show that the marks inside 50 was something I was a little bit worried about. We weren't generating enough of them for the midfield we have, the forward line that we have. Well, we won the marks inside 50, 17-13. So that's something you can stamp on it and say, well done. You learned about it this week and improved on it. Very happy with that. Yeah, I think my big thing was just, I want to just throw some stats out about the clearances. Because it's not going to happen every single week the way it did against GWS. Maybe I can be proven wrong. I hope I can be. But you just got to touch on these things because they're so miraculous. I mean, back to the best. One, the center clearances, 22-8, Lockie. And GWS's midfield is really good. I know they're not necessarily the big contested beasts, but you got Tom Green in there, who's talked about as the new Paddy Cripps. So it was good to see that Cripper sort of steps up and says, no, I'm still the Paddy Cripps. Don't worry about it, son. Won the scores from stoppages, 62-45. Scores from center bounces were 41-12. Won the scores from turnover as well in the end, 55-42. And what's insane about that is at the 24-minute mark of the second quarter, we were outscored on turnover 50-8. So for us to just completely flip that, it was just absolutely insane, the turnaround throughout that game. So I thought those were some big highlights. Yeah. Did you have any other key sort of takeaways this week and sort of impressive things that you want to throw out there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the thing, we haven't really talked about too many individual players so far in this episode. And I guess that was a part of it for me, is this felt like a really complete performance.
Yeah.
Only probably a couple of guys that I would say kind of underperformed. You know, it just felt like one of those games where everybody stood up, where it felt like last week, you know, it really was an extremely uneven performance in terms of who was delivering. And
yeah,
it's just crazy that, to look at our injury list and go, there's still so much improvement that we can have in this 23 players. But at this stage, like, I'm happy to keep moving forward with the guys that we have if it turns out that we can't bring in anyone next week, which I think is a real positive.
Yeah, it was good to see the depth really step up, like we saw in the back half of last year, that sort of led us to that great patch of form. Probably, I've got kind of two points. One of them I'll touch on really quickly. Yep. Shut down Toby Green, which is great to see. It's happened yet again. No goals, seven turnovers, got a bit angry and tried to take out Jordan Boyd in a bit of a marking contest too. And probably one of those things that I enjoyed so much about how we're able to quell his influence is, one, I don't think we tend to do it often on those kind of small, medium-sized forwards that tend to cause us trouble. That those best forwards in the game, we tend to get dominated by them at stages. But then in this, to do it with not only not having Saad, who probably would have gone to him if he was fit, Williams goes to him, shuts him down, then gets injured midway through the game, and Boyd has to go on him. So us to be able to find different avenues to shut him down, thought that was very impressive. Were you happy that we were finally able to stop the opposition sort of key small forward?
Absolutely, yeah. Not much more for me to add. I was just checking Twitter, and it's confirmed that his suspension has been upheld, which we love to see. So another week on the sidelines for Toby.
Enjoy it. Yeah, he sort of built those up for quite some time. I wonder if he's more used to not playing or playing. It's very interesting. But the last thing was just, I said in the build-up show last week, kind of things I wanted to see. I want to see us sort of be able to adjust a little bit quicker in-game when things aren't going our way, because we kind of didn't do that against Adelaide. Still had a chance to win, but never got that dominance back. So I think how we were able to defend better as that game progressed and adjust to defeat the Giants was remarkable. 19 inside 50 tackles to our 9, GWS beat us in that. And their forward pressure was causing us a lot of those troubles earlier. They were creating scores off the back of it. Midway through the second term, they had 10 forward half intercepts to our 3. And they were really punishing us sort of off the break in that avenue. And we were allowing them to move the ball so well. They had an 83% kicking efficiency after they went 16 points up in the second. So they were clearly, not only were they just playing well, but we're kind of allowing them to do so by giving them so much space and freedom, conceding the 6 goals in the second.
Yeah.
Clearly we needed to adjust. And then the fact that we were able to was what I liked from that game. We cut off that short option in that second half, didn't allow them to move quickly through our team defense and create that space. I thought the pressure lifted quite a lot. And then I believe at halftime, we only registered 1 tackle inside 50. So for us to then turn that around and get to 9 by the end of the game kind of just emphasized the pressure element that we're able to really put the heat on the Giants and just defend.
Absolutely.
So much better to turn things around and get that score from turnover back on our sort of level pegging and end up winning it in the end.
Yeah, the stats definitely back up the eye test, because it certainly felt like that watching the game. I will continue to not understand how pressure is flipped in such a way, because it, I don't know, obviously there's a game plan element, but I did feel a bit of a lack of intensity at times early in this game from us, where it seemed like they were bringing it. And then it was almost like a switch flip. I don't know. I was, when I was watching it back, it was like the, you know, that Akers run down tackle over the boundary line. It seemed like from then it was like something just, like the tackling pressure just went up a notch and everybody was on there. And that's what turned it around.
Absolutely. So let's quickly kind of touch on that third quarter blitz, because it kind of goes back to the, are we a contender chat, Lockie? Because I've got a big question for you. Was that the best footy that any team has played this year? And to follow off that, regardless of your answer, how do we do that more often and for longer? Or do we only need to do it for a short period of time in each game?
Wow. You have gone bang with those questions. I don't want any opposition supporters that are listening to this. Of course, there would be many to come at me for games that I haven't watched from other teams this year. For us, it has to be. Maybe Brisbane. The Brisbane run in the third quarter comes to mind. How do we do it more consistently, and does it have, you know, versus spurts? That's a very interesting question. I feel like that question has been asked a lot over this, like, Voss era for us, where it seems like we have, you know, obviously we do not put in a four quarter performance and come away with the win. And it's one of those things where it's like, you, in theory, you feel like you need to be like, no, you need to be able to do that consistently. But also, we lost 1 game this season.
Yeah.
So that's my fence sit.
No, I don't mind it. I do agree with it in patches there completely, because, I think it's obviously not sustainable. The high pressure, I mean, the pressure lifted in that third quarter to 261 with the Fox Footy pressure gauge. So that thing was about to be one of the highest ever recorded. It was incredible from us. That's not going to be there for the whole game. The center clearance dominance isn't going to be there for every single second. So it kind of is about those other elements and how can you take away things from the opposition? How can you absorb the pressure? And there were elements of this game that we didn't do that well enough that we still do need to improve on. But overall, there was still so much throughout that clearly there's a lot to build on, and we've shown our best. And as you say, we've only lost the one game to show for it this year. So I think it's just something that will grow and evolve throughout the year, as long as our best is there and we are capable of it. I mean, just a third quarter to be, what, 9:27 was on the clock and trailed by 20 points, and within 8 minutes we kicked 37 points and we're led by 17 with 2 minutes to go in the third. I mean, that is remarkable. To touch on two players that I'm sure will be in your votes, Cripper and Walsh, in that third quarter, Cripps has 11 disposals, 9 contested possessions, 4 clearances, 5 score involvements, and then the man that was getting dished out to, Sammy Walsh, 12 disposals and 8 score involvements, and Walsh ended up having the highest score involvements ever recorded for a Carlton player in a game of football at 17. To get those guys involved, it's what you need to do to win games of footy. It was tremendous. Lockie, just before we go into the votes and wrap this up, kind of want to do a bit of a short-ish under the radar.
We've talked
about a lot of the big moments, the big talking points, but were there any aspects of the win or individual performances that have gone under the radar that you'd like to shed some light on from our big, glorious win against the Giants?
Yeah, it's probably individuals for me. Like, and I guess these guys, it isn't just really this game either. I guess it's just under the radar for the season. Like, I think Kennedy is a really great example of that in his
100th. Absolutely.
Like, wasn't super clear on where his place was going to be at the start of the season, and he's just gone to this point where he had a fantastic game on the weekend. And then this feels like Matt Kennedy when in like 2020 or 2021 when you'd written him off. And I, at the start of the season, had Hewitt as one of my kind of under the pressure guys. Obviously, without Cherrick in the team, there's a bit more midfield time to go around, but that's not a problem for George right now because the way he's playing, there's no way that we're going to be putting him anywhere else on the ground, even when we're 100% fit, I think.
Yeah, I had a big note throughout the game in just the cleanliness of our midfield in being able to get those ground balls. And from clearance, we had set our fumbly, we had been, and that had caused us a lot of issues. We were getting some decent looks, but just fumbling under pressure. And I reckon Matt Kennedy and George Hewitt were big proponents of the cleanliness. I just thought Matt Kennedy's game was incredible. And, you know, to not only make an impact with your kind of limited role in the midfield and being thrown around and that he has all season, and then to have to go down in defense like he was forced to with the Williams injury, to excel in the way that he has, he's becoming a really important cog that maybe I didn't have that faith that he could survive in multiple positions. I was under the impression that if he's not playing midfield, I'm not 100% certain he offers enough. Again, I'm so happy that this guy keeps proving me wrong every single time, and I'll be the first to call his praise and be made look like a fool every single time because he's so impressive. And then to get that goal was lovely. And another guy I want to give a quick shout out to was Corey Durden, because I thought his stats don't show it, but his pressure in the third and fourth I thought really lifted. There was a massive chase down where he just put the pressure on enough to cause a bit of a turnover and had a few key moments to kick the two goals, have 5 score involvements, I thought was really, really big. And then I do want to get your thoughts as well on Cowan's performance, because a young guy hasn't played a hell of a lot of footy, thrown a little bit into the deep end. Just quickly, what were your kind of thoughts on Lockie Cowan's performance? And is he getting a bit of an extended run in your team for the next few games at least?
Yeah, I definitely think he should. He definitely impressed me, considering, obviously he's very limited time in the AFL so far, and particularly the time since he has been in the squad. I felt like he really stood up. Lots of little moments that I liked from him, like some cleanliness, that, like you talked about at times, like moving the ball back forward. I loved him getting into Toby straight after, he took out Boydie. Like, they're the things that we want from our tough guys like him. I think he can obviously grow a lot, and there's something there. as you called from day one as well, or even before he was drafted.
Yeah, I'm happy to get the Kennedy one wrong, but hopefully the Cowan prediction correct. Very big fan of him in his under 18 sort of draft year. But yeah, I just thought he was really, really composed, and we were lacking from Sard and McGovern a bit of ball movement and that really decisiveness of someone who wants to take the game on quickly. I was really impressed with how he was able to do that. And really, I know he's still young and he's going to have fluctuations in his performance, clearly. I'm not going to say he's going to play like that every single week, but immediately upon seeing him on the ground, I was like, this guy doesn't look like a kid. He looks like he's put on a bit of size, as they always tend to over preseason, but looked just a bit more assured in himself, a little bit more confident out there. So very keen to see his growth. Anyone else you want to talk about before we get into the votes?
Let's get into the votes because it was tough.
Beautiful. It is the Navy Blue Corner Blue Bagger Badge of Honor Award, Lockie. Hit me with your 3, 2, 1. And those watching right now, chuck yours in the comments. If you're listening in podcast form, at Navy Blue Corner is the socials. And I've left this incredibly late, so apologies, Lockie. But if you're looking on YouTube behind me, you can see we've got some merch here to plug. Head over to our Big Cartel if you want to pick up a lovely Navy Blue Corner tee. All the money just goes to basically support the show and pay back the everything that goes into it. And hopefully, if we do raise a bit more money, we can do a couple of fun giveaways. Links to all of it will be in the description in the show notes. Head over to our socials at Navy Blue Corner. There'll be links galore and then plenty of photos as well. But Lockie, your 3, 2, 1 votes this week.
Oh, I still want to like change my votes around here.
Same. I've got, mate, if you can see my screen right now, everyone's got like a slash next to their name and I haven't decided. I'm glad you're the exact same right now.
And it is because of our scoring system where we give 3 to the best, 2 to the biggest outperformer, and 1 to whoever we feel like should be in the votes is what makes it hard.
Yes.
I'm even struggling with my bog, though, I'll be honest. I'm going to go with Cripps for 3, but you could absolutely fully tell me that Walsh was the best on ground, and you would convince me in 1 second, which is why I'm giving Walshy the 1. Because for me, and this maybe surprise you, I'm giving TDK the 2. I think Pitto was one that I wanted to get into the votes, but Cripps and Walsh were too unbelievable that I had to get them in there. And what TDK did, I don't know if it's necessarily his best game for us, as it probably was for Pitto, but if we want TDK to be a forward, this is it. So,
No, I really like that, Lockie. I'm so similar. 3 was my obvious to Paddy Cripps. Walshy gets my 1. I felt he was just that little bit better with his clearance work, but Walshy was phenomenal. It's splitting hairs here. They talk about Batman and Robin. We've just got 2 Batmans, really, which is great. We've got the Michael Keaton and we've got the Christian Bale there. Whoever's who, it doesn't bloody matter. The 2 was tough. Very stiff on DeConing. He's not going to get it. I just have to give it to Pitto because of how we judge this award in that I'm not sure he's ever going to have a better game than this. So I think he needs the just desserts for it. And because he's proven me wrong. Last week I said drop him. This week it was phenomenal and really got that clearance work going. So he gets the 2. But Lockie, that is going to wrap things up for our review of the GWS game. Doing things slightly different, as you'll notice, watching on YouTube. This is on our own YouTube channel. Going to see how this goes, sort of splitting up the few episodes. So leave your thoughts on everything that we've covered in the YouTube comments below. If you're listening in podcast form, obviously the socials at Navy Blue Corner. Links to everything, including our merch for the 2024 season, will be in the show notes, be in the episode descriptions. But don't forget, this isn't just your one-off for the week. We will have our Geelong preview episode out on Blue Abroad on YouTube at 8 p.m. Wednesday night. And it'll obviously be out wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll be back here this time next week to chat about hopefully another big win against the Cats up the Bloody Baggers. See you guys next time.